of the sermons I heard on John 3:16 was on a video as Paul Yonggi Cho was the pastor of the largest church in the world at the time in South Korea. And he preached John 3:16, and it was one of the simplest, clearest, yet most powerful messages I'd ever heard. And just never forgot that. Does anyone remember which Romans passage I preached on January 28th of this year? I didn't think so. Neither did I. I knew which verse I wanted to open with. I had to look it up. And it was Romans 1, 16 and 17. And I wanted to read that because it has a lot to do with our passage from Romans 9 this morning. Romans 1, 16 and 17, Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." And some have said that's the theme verse of the book of Romans. The righteous shall live by faith. One of the commentators that I've been reading, it's a new commentary specifically for preachers by Rob Ventura. He writes this about Romans 9. He is speaking about, or maybe this was from Romans 1. He is speaking about the power of the gospel, which has the strength to turn dead sinners into living saints, to turn rebels into righteous people, and to turn those who were lost and on their way to hell into saved individuals who are on their way to heaven. Truly, then, the gospel is the power of God. Paul has also been speaking in Romans chapter 9 about salvation in the Jews. If you remember, you can go back and listen to those messages if you want. We heard about Isaac and Ishmael. We heard about Jacob and Esau. And we learned that salvation is first about God's choice beforehand of the world, before the foundation of the world through unconditional election. And then, you know, we have to believe. And that, so we have to have saving faith. And I like what Martin Lloyd-Jones, who I think took 8 years to preach through Romans, I'm not going to take that long, he had this to say about Romans 9. In verses 6 through 29, Paul explains why anybody is saved. It's the sovereign election of God. And these verses, the ones I'm going to look at this morning, 30 through 33, he is showing us why anybody is lost. And the explanation of that is their own responsibility. So let's look at verses 30 through 33. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it? That is a righteousness that is by faith? But that Israel who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness did not succeed in reaching that law? Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Four short verses, but with lots of gospel in them. So point number one, what the Gentiles got and why they got it. Verse 30, what shall we say then? A familiar phrase in Paul, in Romans 9, that Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it. That is, a righteousness that is by faith. Now, let's first be clear. The Gentiles were not just sitting around and salvation just happened to fall on their lap out of nowhere. That's not what he's saying. What verse 30 means is that they were not seeking after righteousness through any Old Testament law, through the prophets, through the normal ways that the Jews were. While many were indeed notorious sinners, all you got to do is read Romans 1 to verify that. Many Gentiles actually sought diligently a higher moral life. Just look at the life of many of the philosophers, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, the schools of thought and their students that followed them around. What verse 30 means is that they attained righteousness from God in an entirely different fashion than the way Israel was seeking righteousness. They simply believed the gospel message when they heard it. They heard it proclaimed by Paul. Some heard it proclaimed by Peter and the other apostles and the evangelists. And they simply believed what they heard, and they became righteous in Christ simply by believing the message. It's called justification or salvation by faith alone. And this was Paul's message all throughout the early part of his letter to Romans. Listen to Romans chapter 3. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. And what he means, there's no distinction on your nationality, your language, your gender, your whatever. It doesn't matter who you are. All you have to do is believe the gospel. And it was also central to Paul's gospel message to the Galatians. Galatians 2:16. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. So what happened to Gentiles? They did not get righteousness through any religious practice that they were seeking to perform. They became righteous simply by believing that Jesus was crucified, that he was buried, that he was risen from the dead, that he was the Son of God, and that he rules and reigns over the creation that he made. Period. Faith alone, grace alone, and Christ alone, through the Scriptures alone. So our second point is what the Jews got and why they got it. And we see this in verses 31 and 32. But that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it in faith, but as if it were based on works, they have stumbled over the stumbling stone. So you kind of have to read into it to see, well, what did Israel receive? Well, they received condemnation. They received a guilty verdict because they did not achieve righteousness. William Hendrickson says this: the trouble with Israel was that they proceeded from the false presupposition that by trying very, very hard, we all need to listen to this really closely. They proceeded from the false presupposition that by trying very, very hard, they would be able someday to observe God's entire law, so that they would be able to shout, "Success! We made it!" The law, with its uncompromising demands of perfect love and obedience, should have driven each Israelite to God with the fervent prayer, "O God, be thou merciful to me, the sinner." And as long as Israel relied on works, it could not embrace Christ. It was either one or the other. It could not be both. I'll talk about that a little bit later on one of the challenges for us in the New Testament church. So picture a road in front of you. You're standing on a road, and this road ultimately leads to eternal life. And on this road is a big rock or a big stone right in the middle of the road. It's been placed there by God, which you have to believe in order to continue on the road or even to be on the road. And it's right in the middle of the road. Either you believe it and embrace the stone and order your whole life according to that stone, or you stumble and trip over it. And you take offense at it, and you despise it, and you're ultimately put to shame by it. Those are the two options. R. Kent Hughes says, Paul here paints a mental picture of a roadway with a great stone representing Christ placed right in the middle, and all humanity streaming towards it. Those who are pursuing righteousness by works refuse to see it and stumble over it, headlong to destruction, but others come and rest on it in faith and thus find salvation. And Paul proclaimed this very message everywhere he went. In Corinth, he said, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And you know that Jesus taught this as well. He taught a righteousness that was by faith as well. Do you remember the Roman centurion who came to Jesus on behalf of his sick servant? Those of you that were in CBS this last week would have studied this, I believe, in Matthew chapter 8. Jesus says, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west. He's talking about the Gentiles here. And they will recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom, that's the Jews, will be thrown into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion Jesus said, go. Let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. The Gentile received the righteousness by faith. The Jews stumbled over the rock. It was an offense to them. Rob Ventura says, we're not saved by what we do or how we live. We're not saved by personal performance or by trying to make ourselves savable in God's sight by attempting to keep His commandments as a way of gaining right standing with Him. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. Our third point is why the Jews should have known this. And we see this in the 33rd verse. It begins with these four words, as it is written. It was already there. It was already there in their writings of their prophets. Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. And this is a convergence of two different passages from the book of Isaiah that Paul puts together and quotes. And it shows that there's a rock of stumbling that's going to cause Israel to stumble. And it's got a male a pronoun attached to it, which points them to the Messiah, that you need to believe in Him and not the law to be your righteousness. The whole idea of justification by faith alone, faith in the coming Messiah, was taught regularly and consistently in the law and the prophets. It's not whoever obeys all of His commands will not be put to shame. It's whoever believes in Him will will not be put to shame. And we see this over and over and over. Just a couple of examples. Abraham, Genesis 15:6. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. David, and you'll see his faith in action in Psalm 32:5. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Our fourth point. And you'll see where I borrowed this from in just a minute. How to not bust your shins on the stumbling stone like Israel did. Isn't that the application for us? How do we not go that way as the most religious people in the world did at that time? I don't want to be like that. I don't want you to be like that. How do we not do that? John Stott says, so everybody has to decide how to relate to this rock which God has laid down. We must all do business with the rock. And then Stott continues, there are only two possibilities. One is to put our trust in him, to take him as the foundation of our lives, and build on him. The other is to bang our shins against him, and so to stumble and fall. Those are the only two options. There's not a third option. There's not a fourth option. There's not a fifth option. Don't turn your religion. Don't turn the Christian religion into a religion of works righteousness. We Gentiles are capable of turning our religion into a religion of works righteousness. It's waiting right there for us to do quickly, consistently, all the time. And if we do that, we then stumble over the stumbling stone in the same way the Jews did. Just read the book of Galatians. Paul writes some of the most difficult words in the Bible. He says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? How quickly you have turned away from the message I gave to you. And you've embraced another gospel, which is not even a gospel at all. And what they were doing, they were relying now on religious principles from the Jewish law of circumcision, of other things that they were booking their righteousness on. What are some of the things that we could do and depend upon for our salvation? Our prayers, our worship, reading and studying the Bible, our giving, our service, the way we do our sacraments. I was baptized. I take the Lord's Supper. If we start relying on those things to establish our righteousness, we are now stumbling over the stumbling stone instead of trusting in Christ alone for our salvation. What's another application of this for us? Well, this one is we should not give up hope that our family and friends who are currently not seeking righteousness, we should not give up hope that they may one day discover that which they were not seeking after when they hear the gospel, which is good news of great joy for all the peoples. They're Gentiles too, right? They can still hear the gospel. God can still transform them. Even the hardest, most consistent sinner can turn to the Lord. Our family and friends, there's still hope for them as well. Rob Ventura says this, Romans 9, 6 through 29, and Romans 9, 30 through 33, both show us that God's sovereignty and election and human responsibility to believe are both taught in the scriptures. Therefore, both are to be believed. We don't want to just rest and put all of our eggs in one basket or the other. They're both true. they seem at times in conflict with each other, but we are to believe both of them. And then one more. Our passage teaches that if you put your faith in Jesus Christ alone, who was crucified and risen from the dead, you will be saved. There's no doubt about that. Let me finish with one passage from Matthew 7. There are a lot of passages that are called stone passages that refer to the rock or the stone. And some of you could think about dozens of those. But this is one that we're going to close with. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, in these few short verses at the end of Romans 9, you show us the way the Gentiles were saved, and you show us what the Jews did, most of them. But you show us how they got saved as well, through faith in Jesus Christ. Would you open up our eyes? And if we've strayed, as if we've smuggled in a self-righteousness, a works righteousness, if we're relying on anything other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ for our salvation, help us to turn back and embrace Him alone. Convict us of our wayward path. Call us back. In Jesus' name.